May we turn together to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, for our reading this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 12, perhaps we could begin with verse number 20.
Nađeno je da se čita uz Božju pomoć Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 12. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 12. glava, od 20. stiha i nadalje.
The verses just before our reading speaks of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So this is Jesus' last week and teachings to the people. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things spake Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Dear God, what need do we have but for a word that would draw all men unto thee, to draw close unto thee and to approach thee in worship and humility through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this privilege and gift, we give thee thanks and adoration, for Jesus Christ has made this possible. For a word of eternal life, for hope, we give thee thanks, for Jesus Christ has given us hope. In his dark hour, in his suffering, when he was a curse upon the tree for us, when he took upon us himself our sin, when he bore the stripes and the beating for our sakes, it is for our healing and for our eternal hope to be with thee forever. In the places where thou art preparing for thy children, who patiently wait and patiently occupy until thou wilt return or thou wilt call us home, Lord, we are thy servants, thy children, and heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. It is not of our own works or our own doing, but thou hast sought us out, thou hast found us as lambs that were straying, and hast taken us up upon thy shoulders to bring us back into thy fold. And there are many who are lost and straying. There are many who have heard of Jesus Christ, and they know something of him. Help them, O Lord, to hear the word, to see that there are those that were curious and asked to draw near and learn more. Give them a hunger and a thirst for true righteousness, the true righteousness in Jesus Christ, which is available in this day of grace. May they not be afraid of those who would be the naysayers. May they not seek the praise of men more than the praise of God, but seek that praise of God, that recognition from God of true faith, of repentance and conversion, that recognition of God that gives peace and gives confidence and hope that there is life after our experience on this world is over, to be had in the bosom of our Savior. But also give them the fear, the thundering voice that judgment is coming, and that the word that stands in testimony to before them this day will stand against them if they are not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Help them to know that there is a time appointed once to die, and after this the judgment, and help them to come before thee in fear and trembling, knowing that thou art the only one in whom we can find salvation and hope. Lord, Thou art the only one who can do this. And yet we pray that Thou would be at work in our hearts, one and all, to receive Thy blessing, to hear from Thee, Thy still small voice calling us nearer, still nearer, to Jesus Christ, to His cross, to the empty tomb, to His precious word that's left for us as a light and love and life eternal. We pray for those that were not able to gather with us, who are praying for us, who are praying for healing, both spiritual and physical, those that would love to be here, yet cannot, for reasons known only to Thee. Visit them. Provide for their needs. Comfort and strengthen all of Thy children for the battle that awaits. We give Thee thanks. We know that Thou art able to provide all of our needs. And we take great comfort and consolation in that. We pray that Thou would be with us through this day. Help us to see all that Thou hast provided. And in the abundance that we have received, help us to freely give. Help us to be careful of our words, that they would be seasoned with Thy grace to edify and build up. For we also are in need of being built up in our faith, that we would take up that shield of faith and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Lord, Thou dost know each and every one of our needs. Thou dost know that there are many things that are outside of our control. But there is nothing outside of Thy control. Thou art still on the throne. Regardless of what happens in this world, the nations, the governments. But we do pray Thy blessing, that those who are in authority would be able to run things in a manner that would allow us to live a quiet and peaceable life before Thee in honesty, in godliness and fear, according as our conscience would instruct us. We have that freedom, and it is a blessing. But it is also a responsibility. So help us take on that responsibility with Thy help and share the light while we have it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I've said it before, but the Gospel of John and John the writer makes it very easy for us to look at what he has written and reflect. Because late in his gospel, he wrote that all of these things were written so that you might believe. You and I might believe. And through believing in Jesus Christ, we might have life through his name. And so as we look at what John has written, it's easy to answer the question, why is this here? And then to begin to reflect on what it means to me. It means to give us a testimony of those, some who sought the Lord, some who rejected the Lord, and then ask, what about me? John gives us the teachings of Jesus, what he said about himself and his mission and what he intended for mankind, for us to turn around and ask the question, what about me? There were certain Greeks that came to this feast of the Passover to worship. This is after Jesus had triumphantly entered Jerusalem. Mark says that he purged the temple. He cleansed that court of the Gentiles where they were buying and selling and making commotion. It could be that these Greeks came and saw what was going on in the temple. And then Jesus came in, cleared it out, giving them a place to worship. And then they had a place, quietness, come before the Lord to worship. And that piqued their interest. And they asked, "May we see Jesus? Because we want to see this one who made a way for us. The one who's been teaching, who's been answering with wisdom the contentious issues of the day." What about me? Jesus has made a way for you and me to draw near to God in faith. You who are far away, He lovingly welcomes and invites you. Look up to the cross, where the nails were pierced through His hands and feet. He took that crown of thorns. He took your sufferings. He took your shame. And He made a way that you might be reconciled to God. Do you have that hunger that these Greeks had? We would see Jesus. We've heard Him speak, but we want to see Him. We want to know Him. We want to draw near to Him. We want to hear Him speak to us, give us direction, guide us in life, teach us the way, because He has something that this world cannot provide. Jesus said, if you have that hunger, if you have that thirst for true righteousness, you will be filled. What about me? Who do we invite? Into our hours of lack and weakness? Who do we invite into the emptiness of life? Do you invite Jesus? Do you want to see Him come and fill your need for help in time of temptation? For hope and an answer that goes beyond this life. What about you? What about me? Who are you seeking this morning? Who are you praying for right now? Yearning to draw closer to? Some would say we would see Jesus. And this is written to challenge you. Will you believe? Will you and I seek that pearl of great price that's found in the teaching and the life of Jesus Christ and find life through His name? Philip and Andrew heard of this request, and they brought the request and these seekers to Jesus. And brother and sister, we ask ourselves, what about me? Do I get bogged down in other cares and concerns when I know that somebody is needing, when I know that somebody is straying, when I know that there's someone who could use a hand on their shoulder and a word of encouragement to bring Jesus near, his love, and his word. What about me? Doesn't say whether Jesus' response was directly to Andrew and Philip or if these Greeks were present. But Jesus' response was well known to the disciples. These Greeks that heard him perhaps for the first time, they probably were stunned. When they heard that he had a story and a message for them about discipleship, of self-denial, and about the cross. Jesus spoke and said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And what about me? Do I find it convenient? Do I find that this might be the season to glorify the Lord? The hour has come. It's an hour. You don't have forever. Jesus speaks of his death. But he also speaks that if he die, he would bring forth much fruit. And it's true. Jesus did die on the cross. But he rose from the dead. And he called many sons unto glory. He has brought many into his kingdom. And to each and every one who heard the voice of Jesus calling them tenderly, calling them perhaps when they didn't expect it, he says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. Let him follow me to the cross. Let him stay with me. And come near, that where I am, there shall also my servant be." If we follow him to the cross, if we die to ourselves in repentance, if we die to the pursuit of seeking righteousness through our own deeds, and confess that we can only be made clean and be made worthy through Jesus Christ, he will bring us through the cross and give us new life, that we might be with him, that we might live and have a fellowship in this life with him and have a hope to be with him in eternity. "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." The testimony of Jesus at this time was that he knew that he would be crucified. He knew that this would be the hour of his suffering. He knew what awaited him and how he would die. But his concern and his desire was that the name of his Father would be glorified. This is the teaching and the preoccupation of Jesus Christ. This is the love and the desire of the one who serves and follows Jesus Christ. In the midst of life's most pressing woes, do we take comfort in God's great care and leave that up to Him and seek to glorify His name? The Word asks, what about me? What about you? Do you have that same love and care that Jesus had? That when you are put on the spot, that when you are the one that is the object of ridicule, when your name is dragged through the mud, I say, glorify the name of the Lord. When you find yourself struggling, when you find yourself in need, do you glorify the name of the Lord? When you find that you are going to lose in the eyes of men and your friends and your peers, do you want to see Jesus? Let Him take you through that and let Him teach you. Come what may, glorify the name of the Lord. That will lead us to a place that will not resist evil, that will not fight back when we are persecuted, but will stay steady, strong, and consistent when the waves of temptation and persecution beat upon our house of faith. Glorify thy name. That is what Jesus said. Now, what about me and you? A voice of confirmation came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. There were those that heard. They heard the confirmation of Jesus' desire. And some said it thundered. Perhaps some heard it, they didn't understand it, and it just sounded like a noise. And they didn't take any care and thought. But what about you? What about me? Maybe they heard it, they realized what it meant, and it shook them to a fear and a place of humility that they bowed before the Lord and declared, He is holy and we are undone. Others said, it's for somebody else. An angel spake to him. But Jesus said, just like John, that these things were said and written for you. God glorified His name in the life of Jesus Christ, in sending His only begotten Son to live that perfect life, to show us His character and who He is. And the people that were there, they didn't realize it. When they heard that Jesus was going to die, they didn't know what was awaiting 3 days later. But God gives testimony, He is going to glorify it again. Jesus Christ will rise from the dead in glory. He will ascend up on high and sit at the right hand of God. And He will intercede for us. He will be victorious. He will overcome sin and death. There is a hope that is spoken of in the confirmation of Jesus' word. What about you and me? We are taught, brothers and sisters, to follow Jesus, to obey His commands. to confirm the words that Jesus has spoken. And in a humble practice of our faith, we can offer hope. Hope that there is help to those who don't know the Lord yet, when they come to know Him, when they come to seek Him, just as strongly as we hunger and thirst for Him. What about me? And what about you? Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Brothers and sisters, Jesus had won the victory over sin and death and Satan on that cross. And for those that are called by His name, we are to depart from iniquity. We are no longer the slaves of Satan. We are no longer part of this world. We are given a new hope and a new name in Jesus Christ. He has no part in us. We are not His servants. We are the servants of Jesus Christ. That is who we are to be. Let's not forget it. Let's remember who we are. And let's remember what Jesus Christ has done. He has cast Satan out. He will have an ultimate victory very soon, I believe. But what about you? And what about me? Is Satan cast out? Has Jesus exercised that authority and that victory in our lives? My friend, you are still in Satan's bonds, but Jesus has come to set you free, to preach liberty to those that are still captive to sin and are beholden to His ways. He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." He was lifted up, most certainly, up on that cross. And He draws, He invites all men to come to Him. He invites, while there is time, while you have the light, because the time is precious and the time is short, to respond to the Word of God. Listen. Take a step of faith. Respond. Trust Him. Obey Him. There is coming a time of darkness. You don't know the hour when the calls will become fainter, when the need becomes less pressing for your soul's salvation. If you hear the Word of God, believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and find life through believing in His name. Find that purpose for your life. Not only purpose just to know it, but also that He would come and take up residence in your heart and give you the ability to fulfill it. There were many who heard the word, who heard the pleading message. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you might be the children of light. And they did not believe. And this was prophesied by Isaiah. And John takes a few moments to explain this to us. But what about you? What about me? If some will not believe, I will believe more. If some will mock Jesus Christ, I will praise Him. If some will forget His word, I will hide it in my heart. If some will turn away from the invitation, I will run into His arms. What about you? What about me? These people are dead and gone, and their fate has been sealed by the choice that they made. Some did believe, and they kept a hidden faith. How did John know? The things that are in the heart of man will come out. The disciple will make his master known. But be careful. There's a trap that's been set. It's called the praise of men. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I've heard it said that the praise of men, it just amounts to some smelly breath. You know, who do you hear? Somebody who ate some sausage and has some garlic breath breathing and speaking, what a nice job you did. Is it anything more to you? Me. But oh, how that seems to draw us in. It draws on our flesh and our desire to be well thought of and to be exalted, perhaps. It's so appealing. How about the praise of God? Recognition from God that you are walking in the light, that you and your heart have been crushed by this word, and you have come before Him in a contrite, in faith, in sincerity, that He would recognize your approach and give you peace. That's the praise of God. That's the recognition of God. That's the seal of God upon the believer that heard, received the word, and in due time will bear fruit. Take time to go through what Jesus says here, verse 44 to 50. Read it again. These are Jesus' last words to the crowd. He lovingly invites and challenges us to ask the question, what about me? God bless us.